You want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I am your host, Matt Halleck. I am the founder of Man Warrior King, the teaching, mentoring, coaching ministry that is equipping men with the knowledge, the strength, and the grit to embrace, to step into, to experience, maybe even for the first time, the fullness of their God-given masculinity so that they can begin to rebuild their minds, their marriages, and their missions. Today we're going to be talking about Mark chapter 3, but not just the verses themselves. We're going to be looking at how a man walks forward into the world, into the mission that his Father, that God has given him. And Jesus is our model. Jesus is not simply, he's not only God, he is also man, and he himself called himself the Son of Man way more times than he ever said that he was the Son of God. In fact, the Gospels don't ever record him coming right out and saying, I am the Son of God. He calls himself the Son of Man, and in my opinion, a possibility there is that he is wanting to emphasize to us that as a man, he is able to be modeled, right? And he says, just as the Father sent me, so I send you. He says, be perfect as I am perfect. So, as a man in the kingdom, it is so not only possible, but probable that you will face opposition. And we have a generation or a couple generations of men who don't know how to persist, how to endure in the face of opposition when everything else tells them to quit, to back down. And if anybody should have been able to walk forward on a red carpet with everything taken care of for him, it would have been Jesus. But that simply didn't happen. In a single chapter, we can see that Jesus is opposed multiple times.
And he was driven so deeply, so forcefully, so passionately by his mission in his identity as the Son of God that whenever he found an opportunity to live out his mission and his identity, he took it. And it didn't matter if it was going to break the rules in the process. Right? So in Mark chapter 3 at the beginning, it says that he entered a synagogue and there was a man there with a withered hand. And the people watched Jesus to see whether he would heal this man on the Sabbath so that they could accuse him. And he said to that man with the withered hand, "Come here." So he brought the man over to him and says, okay, he says, "Come here." And then while the man is there, he asks everybody else who's standing around watching, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" And nobody answered him. They were all silent. So he looked around at them with anger, and he was grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. So the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel against him, how they could destroy him. So here he is. So here he is faced with the opportunity to either fly under the radar. Maybe he could call the man aside outside of the synagogue where nobody was watching, walk around the corner with him, heal him really quick. He could have waited until the next day when it was no longer Sabbath. But he didn't. He saw a need in the moment and he met it because he was full of love. He walked in love. And what that man needed from love in that moment was to be healed. And I got to believe what the Pharisees and the naysayers looking on in that moment, what they needed from love was confrontation. In love, Jesus confronted them and he didn't back down because it was loving for them to see the truth and have the truth expose the lies they were living under, have the truth expose the darkness in their spirits. And he wasn't deterred by the possibility of destruction. It says that they plotted to destroy him. And now it's true, in the middle of the opposition that Jesus was facing, he also was facing massive just response to what he was doing. Crowds swarmed him. Disease-ridden people swarmed him. Demon-possessed people swarmed him. And in the middle of the opposition, in the circumstances not always working out, there was clear ground being taken. People were getting healed and set free. I don't know about you, gentlemen, but I don't always feel like I'm actually taking ground. Sometimes I feel like I am sticking. I would say even right now, I feel at times like I'm sticking with the mission that God has given me, even without a clear sign that it's doing anything, that it's gaining momentum. This podcast, for those of you who are listeners, it's a small podcast. There was a time, two summers ago, when it was getting a couple few hundred downloads a month, during a time when I was not able to do it. I was physically out with sickness and in pain, and couldn't make it to the computer to sit at the computer and do it. But now, It's only getting a few downloads a week. And even today, I'm sitting here working in my office, working at providing an income for my family, which at this point in time, I don't know how I'm going to do that. I have been working hard at it, and I've been hitting wall after wall after wall. Opposition is rearing its head against what I am doing over and over and over. And I am in a place right now, this is just being honest, where I actually wish that I could, like Jesus, see some kind of fruit. But I'm also going to follow his example of endurance, of perseverance. And I'm going to trust that the fruit will come. You know, we don't even know what the first 30 years of Jesus' life were like, right? The Bible doesn't give us any indication about that. I imagine that there wasn't a whole lot of miraculous going on, a whole lot of life-changing things going on, right? Because he told his mom that his time hadn't yet come right before he changed the water to wine at the wedding. So if his time hadn't yet come at that point, then it definitely hadn't come up until then. And we see another clue as to the fact that this is probably a breakout season for Jesus, where the first 30 years of his life, there wasn't a lot going on as far as his ministry and his mission were concerned. And it says later on in this chapter, in Mark chapter 3, yes, there's a crowd that comes to him in verse 7. It talks about how he withdrew with his disciples to the sea and a great crowd followed. And the crowd was about to crush him, so he had to get out in a boat. But down in verse 20, it says that Jesus went home and the crowd gathered again so that they couldn't even eat. And when his family heard this, they went out to seize him, for they were saying he's out of his mind. So Jesus had clearly not been doing a whole bunch of stuff like this for a while, right? Like all the way up to this point, because now all of a sudden he's stepping into his mission that God has given him, and he's revealing his identity as the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lamb of God. And his family's like, hold up, we got to get him. We got to stop him because he is crazy. He is losing it. This is not the Jesus that we thought he was. Opposition. So Jesus is facing opposition from the powers that be. He's facing opposition from his own family. The people that should have been supporting him the most were opposing him, and yet he continued on his mission. There's another instance in the Gospels where he's preaching, and somebody comes and says, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are coming looking for you. And he says, who are my mother and brothers except for the people who are here, who are following me, who are partaking of what I am bringing? So then, not only is his family saying he's out of his mind, then he gets people saying that he is demon-possessed, that he is doing what he's doing by the power of Satan. Or to be more specific, the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons. And he had to stand up to that as well. He says, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, it can't stand. And they were telling him that he had an unclean spirit. The world doesn't like when a son of God, when the Son of God, and now you and I, when sons of God, stand up and say, this is who I am, and this is how I live, and this is who I live by and for and through and from. And the world will resist us, gentlemen. It may come from your family. It may come from your friends. It may come from work. It may come from life, just at large circumstances. It might come from financial resistance. But I'm telling you, and I'm telling myself, I'm preaching this to myself, that I cannot stop life in the kingdom, life, living life in the Spirit and by the Spirit, in order to mitigate, to minimize the opposition forces that come against us. And these stakes are high. Gentlemen, it is not just my well-being at play here. My family's well-being is on the line. God has entrusted me to be the shepherd, the caregiver, the provider for my family. And yes, he provides for us too, but he has entrusted me to be the conduit from his resources to my family. These stakes are big. This is not a game. So am I going to live according to the mission and identity that he has called me to, or am I going to crumble, to succumb to pressure, and abandon what he has asked of me? I can't abandon it. You can't abandon it. You cannot abandon the mission and identity that the Father has given to you. And right now, at this time in our world, it is more important than ever that we don't give up and give in. Because the world doesn't need, it doesn't need a fired up, angry group of Republicans incensed at the injustice, incensed at the craziness in our world. Now, I'm not saying that that is wrong, because our world is under fire by this crazy, crazy, crazy slew of attacks from the liberal side of things. But what the world needs is a generation of sons to stand and to administer the kingdom in the face of the enemy. And we are not used to that in our culture in the United States. But we could take a moment and learn something from the brothers that we have around the world who have stood in the face of violent opposition for years and years now. And the Lord promises that if we seek first his kingdom, then all these other things will be added to us. The clothes that we wear, the food that we eat. So I trust you, God. And I lift up not just my family, but the family of every one of these men who are listening. And I trust you that you are providing. And you will provide. So I lift up these brothers to you, and I ask, God, that you would meet their needs according to your riches and glory. Brothers, this has been Matt Halleck, and I'm signing off. God bless you until next time.
This is Matt Halleck, signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.